Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. I'm Tim with Ed, and Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to be here.
25 minutes left on the program. By the way, we have 9 seats left, I think it is, for our Holy Land trip in March. So if you want to go with us, you want to be one of the last 9 folks to get on the train, although we're not taking a train to Israel, but, you know, metaphorically speaking here. If we were taking a train to Israel, now that'd be something, huh?
Catch the last train to Israel?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to go with us, you'd like to take a look at that, go to twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, only 9 seats remain for our tour of Israel in March. We'd love to have you if you've been wanting to go and can get away and have the money. We would love you to join our group, twholyland.com. All right, Steve, what do you got, my friend?
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the courts surrounding President Trump. There's stuff going on in Washington. He's doing stuff. You guys have already been talking about a lot of it.
Yeah, we're bored with it.
Well, do
now.
Do you want to talk about what the courts are doing? You know, there's this battle going over whether or not he gets to talk to leaders and whether he has to show all of his, what the Democrats are saying now after this whole whistleblower complaint over the Ukraine call. Now they want to see every call he's ever had to every leader. And a judge is Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who is an Obama appointee, has said, I want you to make sure you keep, do not destroy records of meetings, phone calls, and other communications. And she said she wants to preserve all records of efforts by the White House or other executive branch officials to return, claw back, lock down, or recall White House records. This coming after they decided to put them in a special data file that's hard to get into so they can't get leaked.
Well, my understanding is it is illegal to destroy government records of anything, phone calls, emails, unless you're Hillary Clinton, and then you can
Duly noted, Ed.
Then you can destroy external hard drives. You bleach them, destroy them with a hammer or whatever.
And you get the FBI director to say, "I really didn't think she meant to harm anybody."
That's right. I'm not sure why a judge would issue something like this. You're not allowed to destroy this stuff anyway.
Yeah, but the ruling makes it sound like they are trying to.
Yeah, the Trump would.
And she stopped them.
Yeah.
From destroying.
Yeah. And so, and the judge says to keep records of efforts to hide. So the judge is kind of.
Yeah. We're going to expose. While we're at it, we're just going to let all the information, just put it out there for the world to see. I'm not saying that's what the judge said do, but that's basically what the Democrats are calling for. Then I say we put all President Obama's private talks with all foreign leaders while he was in office. Let's put that out there to, you know, just for transparency. What do you got to hide?
Yeah, huh?
Right.
What are
you
we hiding
to hide
here?
Something?
Trying to hide something? Put it all out there.
And all of Hillary Clinton's communications.
That we have.
that's right, that we have, that she had with foreign governments.
Right, just put it all out there.
Yeah.
Top secret or not.
We want transparency, right?
Right. Transparency. What are you trying to hide?
The people have a right to know every little thing that our government does.
Yeah. They do. So let's go.
are we pegging out on the sarcasm meter, Steve?
I think we are.
I've noticed a little bit of it.
I also think that we should tell this judge, maybe the administration should tell this judge, okay, judge, and I want to make sure you do not take any bribes. Okay, so I'm just telling you
right now,
do not take any bribes.
Right.
Put it out
good
there.
Good point, Ed.
Yes. The news media was this weekend, you know, the Sunday talk shows on all the networks.
You know, I haven't watched one of those in 20 years.
Well, you don't have to, because I'll bring in the relevant little sound bites from them, and we can...
This is
the best of
a service that we perform for our listeners.
And for our president, too.
Yep.
So I wanted to play you a little bit of Susan Rice, who was on one of the weekend shows. And to my hearing, and I'm a news guy, so I'll let you guys tell me if you think this, but she's kind of getting it backwards. She was talking about Biden and Trump, the difference between the accusations against Hunter and Joe Biden and the accusations against Trump. This is cut 10.
The difference here is very simple. President Trump, on the one hand, is asking Ukraine for a favor that benefits him personally and politically. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, on behalf of President Obama, the United States, and the Western world, was asking and pushing for the removal of somebody who, on behalf of our policy, on behalf of our national interest. And that's the difference. And Biden did it transparently. Trump tried to hide it through sequestering.
It strikes me that you could make the argument the opposite way, that President Trump trying to investigate Russia was asking for some legitimate things, the sequestering again being so that his internal sensitive secret documents aren't leaked to the press, and Joe and Hunter Biden were enriching themselves. That's what the second shoe to drop on that is. What happened after Hunter was on that board? What contracts did they get and all that kind of stuff?
How did she, with good conscience, maybe I'm answering my own question, how could she with good conscience leave out the fact that what Joe Biden was asking for could conceivably be perceived as benefiting his son?
Right.
How could she leave that out?
Well, this whole thing seems to me to be trying to look into the intentions of leaders, right? It's not the act. Everybody kind of agrees that President Trump asked for an investigation about the Russia election and mentioned Joe Biden, and everybody pretty much agrees that Joe Biden asked to get this guy fired. Now we're just arguing over, well, was it for his own purpose? Did he want to do it so that he can benefit himself? Or did he do it so that it was for the national interest? And, of course, everybody takes their side depending on which political aisle they're on.
Yeah, well, the thing that that ups the ante here for me, not that I'm a betting man, but is Vice President Biden insisting that the chief investigator into his son's company be fired, or else you don't get the $1 billion that the United States government was going to give you. So there was no also he put the time squeeze on him. He said you better fire this guy within 6 hours,
right?
So, I mean, that strikes me as this was a United States vice president forcing a foreign country, to get rid of somebody that's at the highest level of government. This is to be akin to the attorney general.
Right.
And he gives them 6 hours. I mean, that sounds like talking about the mafia. Yeah, you got 6 hours or
yeah. Or we're going to break your fingers.
Yeah, that just sounds... And as you said, a convenient fact left out of the Susan Rice comments was the fact that he was investigating this guy. I don't know this guy. You know, some people say he was corrupt. I'm talking about the prosecutor, the attorney general. But I'm just fact that the vice president could give him 6 hours to fire him or else, and they did, by the way, didn't they?
Yes.
Because
what Joe Biden was bragging about. Guess what? They fired him.
Yeah. Interference in with a foreign government like that. So again, this goes all the way back, folks, don't forget. And the media doesn't mention this at all. The Hillary Clinton and the Democrats tried to destroy President Trump using the foreign government of Russia, really on the dossier.
Yeah.
The Steele dossier. That was a Russia related product. Made up of all fanciful and things that everybody agreed was crazy and not true. And they tried to use that to destroy President Trump. Anyway, next story.
I want to get on some better news, and it does involve the president, but you did not hear on any of the mainstream media over the weekend that President Trump had a meeting with young black leaders.
This is good, by the way. What you're about to talk about? I want people to, if they become bored with the Washington insider talk, so to speak, get ready because we got something good for you right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, this is good. So he was meeting with his young black leaders and gave the mic, I guess, one of these young ladies. And the only name we have for her is Mahalat, M-A-H-A-L-E-T. I don't have a last name, but that's the only thing I've been able to find. But this young girl, Mahalat, she's looks like she's about 16. She was here, and she's an Ethiopian immigrant. She was adopted into this country, and she took the microphone, said some very nice things about President Trump, and then said, "We need to pray for our leaders." And then this is what happened next. Cut 9.
I don't know if you guys want to bow your head. Okay. All right. Dear God, I'm not really good at this, but I just want to say thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to be in the White House. Thank you for giving us a great leader like Trump, Mr. Donald Trump. And I would like to thank you for waking up our nation. God protect us. God protect our president as he's going through so much right now, so much scrutiny. God, I believe that you gave him to us, and I believe that he's going to accomplish so much more. I know you have more for us. Jesus, I ask you to protect us and walk with us. In Jesus' name, the enemy tries to attack us every single day. He tries to discourage us, but he has no room. He has no room, no more. And that's all I have to say. Oh my God.
This is a young girl who was, I think, an orphan in Ethiopia. She came to this country when she was 11 and was adopted by a Christian family. She's right. Clearly a Christian now. And it was just such a great thing to hear her praying for our country, praying for the president. It was just a really good news
and
story.
The courage it takes for a lot of adults to have a hard time praying in public, just even
right.
At a Bible study or something like that. Imagine being 16 and getting up in front of the world
right.
And praying for the most important person in the world. I mean, she seemed nervous, but you could tell that it was heartfelt.
Yeah. And I saw the video of the group of young black leaders that were there, and I tell you, it was, of course, not all of them probably were Christian. I don't know, but there were a lot of them nodding their heads and all those. And I just thought, what a great group of young people, and gives me some hope for our future.
Mm.
So it was just a good feel good story. I'm glad we
have that on our Facebook page.
Yes.
So if you want to watch that. What's the video
good,
what you just
good.
Heard, go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page, and we posted that video there of that young lady you just heard. She was how old?
She looked to me about 16 or 17. I wouldn't
was,
be able
was
to
at the White House.
Yes.
Was the president there?
Yes,
yes
standing right next to him. Mike Pence
yeah, okay.
was behind him,
okay,
too.
I need to see it. Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
The president, that's the president's shoulder,
that's
and that's
president.
Mike Pence,
okay.
Yeah. See on all our Facebook listeners, it's going to be up on our website here shortly. So yeah, good kudos to her. There's some good people in this country. So the Democrat campaign, Joe Biden is in a kind of a free fall after all these gaffes, and now the specter of him being complicit in the Ethiopia thing. And now I think you guys probably talked about
the Ethiopia thing.
Sorry, that was the last story.
Wrong continent, Steve.
Yes, it was. The Ukraine.
Okay. Ukraine, yeah.
Yes.
Easily confused.
Yeah, Ethiopia. Yeah, not even the same number of syllables or kind of way off.
Yeah.
And then I know you guys probably talked about Senator Warren's newest, lie or whatever she...
Misremembering.
To
borrow from George W. Bush.
Right. So who are the Democrats to trust? What's going to happen? Because a lot of the centrists thinking nobody in this race is not socialist. They're all wildly spreading to the left. And if we take away Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie, he's...
You got nothing.
Yeah. So what they're saying? There's a draft Michelle Obama movement.
I'm
a lot of
shocked.
People, and she says, I won't do it. But, it's a long time to the campaign.
Wait a minute. That Was that a quote you just had?
What?
Or is that?
That you won't do it?
No, no. You said I won't do it, but then you said, but it's a long time for the campaign.
No,
is that her saying that?
No, that's
or is
me.
That you saying that?
That's okay. Me saying it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has said no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks.
She says it's not her. But really, if you think about it, she gets in there. She could be the shadow president to her husband, who gets another two terms.
I don't think she would do that. I think really the only way she gets in is if she's drafted at the convention.
Yeah.
Where the Democratic Party says we've got no clear winner, we've had six different votes, we don't have a nominee, we're going to have to go outside this field. I mean, believe me, it's a long shot, but yeah. I did make the prediction. So if it comes true, I will write a book and go on a book tour.
Tell me, do you
I've
think...
already expressed my mockery of this idea. I don't think I need to mock again.
She could. Do you think she could win?
What?
Do you think she could win?
Yes.
That scares me.
No, but there's a question preceding that.
Yeah. Is she going to run?
No.
No, she's not going to run.
I mentioned.
Is what he's saying.
Oh, okay. That's not the question.
Oh, good life.
Right.
That's what's going through her head right now.
And I will say one thing against my theory, to your point, Tim. They still have two pretty young daughters that already went through 8 years of being in the limelight. Mm-hmm. And for her to say, oh, I'm going to put you through another 8 years,
right.
That might be tough for a mom.
Yep.
What do you got? What else you got, Steve?
Let's talk about some things that are happening. Just a strange, kind of a sad thing that happened. We talked about Amber Geiger, the Dallas police officer who was sentenced to 10 years after she walked into the wrong apartment and shot Botham John and the Botham John's brother. Forgave her and hugged her, and the judge hugged her.
We played that last week.
Right, we did. Well, now we're finding out this last weekend that Joshua Brown, who was Amber Geiger's neighbor and a key witness in this trial, was shot to death on Friday evening in Dallas. He was 28 years old. He was shot in the back and...
robbed? Or
the shooters at large. No, it was a drive-by. Several gunshots in a silver four-door sedan speeding out of the parking lot. So,
was it at his apartment or at work, or does it say?
It does not say. I don't know if it was near his apartment, but.
So, the idea being floated is that this was a revenge hit.
Could have been. That's what somebody said.
Who was upset with the court decision?
Yeah. Dallas, it's a large city. It could have been just a random
drive-by. Yeah, it could have been. You're saying the gunman, shooter, the killer is at large?
The killer is at large. They're still looking for him. At least they were last I checked before I came here. What's being floated out here, and I got to tell you, I talk with police union-type people and police officers. I don't doubt that there could be some bad cops, but this strikes me because I'm hearing it out there that this is a revenge thing. The cops are getting back at this guy for putting away one of their own. It doesn't strike me as valid or true.
I can't imagine
me
that either.
Huh?
I just, as unlikely as it is to have a drive-by or whatever that's so coincidental, I don't think that cops would do this.
No, but the thing about it is this wasn't even a crime committed in her line of duty.
Right.
This was just a tragic mistake on her part that she went in, she was messing with her cell phone, not paying attention to what floor she got off of in her apartment complex, and then went into the wrong, right?
Right.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
He got off on the wrong floor. It's, you know, like all most apartment buildings, they're identical.
I can definitely see how that would happen, how that could happen, and that happened, and you see the result was just, as I say, tragic.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's a different, that would be a different situation if you even believe this was a, quote, revenge attack, than somebody who had an altercation with a police officer in public.
Right.
You know, as part of their duties. Maybe he was he was unfair. He was shot. Somebody was shot because, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Our favorite climate activist has taken her boat that she sailed from Sweden to New York, and she has sailed on to the Dakotas, apparently. I don't know how she does that. This is the same train that you were going to take to Israel. She's taken a boat to the Dakotas.
Lewis and Clark did it.
That's right. Anyway, Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old who gained attention for shouting at the United Nations people, how dare you?
Telling them her life was over because of these people.
That's and a right. mass extinction
and
was
they
coming.
Clapped when she said, you caused it.
I should be in school.
Right.
But she's not in school. Instead, she's in the Dakotas,
right.
And she has a problem. She's concerned about the proposed path of the Keystone XL pipeline through South mm-hmm. Dakota and plans to double the oil flow through the Dakota Access Pipeline. Things that I'm sure are on the mind of every young Swede.
Right. Yeah.
They must be.
She's against oil, right, at all, right?
Yes, she's against all.
I think, yeah, probably all fossil fuels.
Yes.
Okay.
So she's now making her taking her activism to other places in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and making her voice known. So.
Well, I am glad that the Swedish people have sent Greta Thunberg. Is it
Thunberg? Thunberg
has sent us their 16-year-old champion. To help us with all our myriad problems.
Why don't we send a couple of 16-year-olds to Sweden to help them with theirs?
Well, you know they can't have any problems because they're socialist.
Sweden. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Everything is better.
Or at least that's the accusation.
She ought to change her name though. It's Thunberg, right?
Yes.
I would go with Greta Funberg.
Funberg?
Yeah, make it more appealing. You know what I'm saying? Get her message out.
Come here, Greta. You will have fun.
Maybe do a musical on Broadway, thing, you know, about global warming, those kinds of
things. About the end of the world?
Yeah, right now she's looked at Debbie Downer.
Yes.
You know what I'm
saying?
She
kind of is.
When you talk about mass extinction.
Yeah.
That's the life of the party there.
Pick it up.
No, all I want to know.
I'm
not coming to the pizza party unless you tell me whether Greta's going to be there.
I would say. I would read a couple of Joel Osteen books.
That could work.
Huh?
That could work.
What do you think? Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You attract more with honey than you do with
vinegar.
Vinegar.
Or oil.
That's what my mom used to say. You attract more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And I'm always like,
Why would I want to attract flies?
I know. It does.
And then the next thing was, you wait till your father gets
right. Right.
Why would I want to wait till my father gets home? Please, Mom, let's do this now.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, Steve, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ed, appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here, always.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley for running the controls for us today.
For whatever he does.
For Fred Jackson for his contributions to this program. We thank you for listening to AFR. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.